Chapter 1.
Isling?
No, it's Aisling.
Aisling?
Aisling. It's Irish. The Orly passport control man glared suspiciously at me over the top of my passport.
Your passport, it says you are American.
I rallied a smile when I really wanted to scream with frustration instead. I am. My mother was Irish, hence the name Aisling. He transferred his glare to the passport.
Aisling.
I tried not to sigh too obviously. I might be brand spanking new to the courier business, but instinctively I knew that if I showed the least sign of impatience with being grilled on the pronunciation of my name, Antoine the passport man would drag out his interrogation. I sweetened my smile, pushed down the worry that something would go wrong with the job, and said very slowly, "It's pronounced Aisling."
Aisling,
Antoine said, his eyes narrowing in concentration. I nodded. It was close enough.
Bon, we march forward,
he said, flipping through my passport.
You are 5 feet and 9 inches tall, have gray eyes, are 31 years of age, unmarried, and you live in Seattle, state of Washington, America. This is all correct, yes?
Yes, except I think of my eyes as being a bit more hazel than gray. But the passport guy said to put gray down. Hazel sounds more exotic, don't you think? Antoine cocked an eyebrow at me, briefly examining the visa that allowed me to act as a courier for Bell and Sons before moving on to the documents for the Aquamanile. I quickly glanced around. Uncle Damien's strictures on perimeter security echoing in my head.
Security is your personal responsibility. Your security is not the responsibility of the police or of the government or any officials. Your first and last line of security is yourself. Be alert and aware of your surroundings. Radiate confidence. Never do anything to indicate you are prey.
Easier said than done, I mused as I eyed the large number of people passing through the airport. Happily, no one was paying any attention to me or the case I held. I breathed a silent sigh of relief and raised my chin, trying to look confident and in control, not at all like a courier in charge of a 600-year-old small golden statue in the shape of a dragon that was worth more than what I had made in the last 10 years put together. Antoine's gaze flickered to the small, black, heavy-duty plastic case I clutched tightly in my right hand.
Do you have the inventaire détaillé?
Of course. I passed over the sheets of paper describing in French the gold Aquamanile. The document was stamped by the San Francisco French consulate and included an appraiser's certificate as well as a copy of the bill of sale to Madame Aurora Deauville, citizen of France and resident of Paris. Antoine's finger tapped on the top document.
What is this, Aquamanile?
I shifted the case to my left hand, flexing my right fingers, being careful to keep the case out of sight, held between me and the examination table. An aquamanile is a form of ewer, usually made of metal, used for the ritual washing of hands by a priest or other liturgical person. They were very common in medieval times. Antoine's eyes widened as he stared at the black case.
It is a religious artifact you have.
I gave him a crooked smile. Not really. Rumor has it that aquamaniles were sometimes used in, dark practices. He stared.
Dark practices?
I took in his raised eyebrows and smiled sympathetically. Demons, I said succinctly. Aquamaniles such as this are said to have been used by powerful mages to raise the demon princes. I didn't think his eyes could open any wider, but at the word demon, they all but popped out of his head.
Demon princes?
He asked, his voice a hoarse whisper. I shifted the case again and leaned forward, speaking quickly, aware that a faint note of desperation had tinged my voice. You know, Satan's big guns, the head honchos of hell.